to say that. And that could very well be your sermon for today. Because God is indeed a good God, an unfailing God, a God who has all strength, all power, and he's all knowing. So before you pray, before you lay it out there, God already knows. But what makes us feel good is the fact that he brings us close. In spite of our shortness and our shortcomings, in spite of our failings, God keeps us near, even up here, on his breast, to make sure that we are confident in this world that we live in. Saints of God, get closer. Get closer to your Jesus, because we're living in perilous times and we need a friend. And that friend is indeed Jesus. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He didn't bring us into this wilderness to leave us, brothers and sisters. No, he didn't. He brought us in to test us and to carry us through. With that, bow your heads, please. Father, it is all about you. It is all about you. So take charge in this place today. You have made the call, and these are those who have answered that call. We are thankful for you, and we are thankful for them. These your people. Help us to treat them with much care. So, Lord, we ask that you would direct my thoughts as well as my speech, that nothing will be misunderstood from this desk this morning, that God will be seen, and just let me fade into the background, Lord Jesus. This is your time, these are your people, and they come with needs that they don't need to express to me, but they need to have that exchange with you this morning. Bring us to clarity of mind. Help us, dear Lord, to recognize our true purpose in this life and the God who called us. Forgive us for our slackness, for our shortness, and indeed our brokenness, Lord, because this is all we have to offer you. So, Lord, with that, we ask that you would make us whole. We pray in your precious name, and let the church say, amen. Amen indeed. Bless you, saints. It's good to see all of you this morning. You know, there's a lot going on in the world, and it affects all of us. Even if we don't get a direct hit, indirectly, it affects us. Because we are godly people and we care. Not just for the people that sit among us, but we care. We care for the wicked. We care for the weak. We care for the unchurched. We care for those who claim to know God. And on certain days, that's all of us. We seem to fall short in our relationship. As good as he has been, we have a tendency to take our Lord and Savior for granted. Lord, help us. Lord, keep us. So, kind of quiet this morning. Everybody okay? You in the right place? Okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. God is going to see us through. Whatever you brought here this morning, we want you to lay it down.
Don't take your troubles back with you.
Don't fixate on the problem.
Put your attention on God.
And you'll see a miracle.
Just let him have it. And I know that's hard for humans, especially in this society. You know, we're a society that we think we can fix everything. All right. But the relationship that God has with his people is that he requires that we give it to him so he can fix it. See, you couldn't find your way from here to heaven. Am I right in that? You can't find your way. It's going to take a God to get you there. But before he gets you there, he has taught us through his word how to live here in this space, how you can live victorious in this place, in this time of trouble. Sure, death is all around us, brothers and sisters. People are dropping at a very fast clip. Death is all around us. But don't fixate on the death. Fixate on the life giver. There is also life. But you know, this God that we serve, he gives us a choice to choose life or choose death. He brings us into that conversation, into that circle, where he would share that with us. He wants you to know everything that's going on in your life. And he knows from the beginning, before you even got here, before you came through your mother's womb, he already knew what you were going to face. But the God that you did not know already had a plan for your life. Now, that's something to hold on to, isn't it? No man or no woman can take the place of God or children. Because I'm telling you, I'm crazy about little kids. I got a little great-grandchild, and I'm telling me, he's got me going. This guy is so precious. He is so precious. My wife and I had two kids. They end up having their kids, which was 8 grandkids, and then we got Junior. And Junior just outshines all of them. This guy got energy. He just won't stop. And he's the only child, man, my wife came to that conclusion the other day, he's the only child we ever had that would wake up smiling. I mean, that's him all day long. He gonna give you that smile. And look, he'd be wrong, you know what I'm saying? And when you catch him, he give you that smile. Right? He know how to, this guy know how to manipulate and handle people. And I'd be amazed if we'd be looking at each other like, is he real? Do he know what I came through? He gonna play us like that? But he is just full of joy. And let me tell you one thing. They live in Hampton, Virginia. He stayed with us during the Christmas holiday. And I couldn't wait for him to leave. Because when he left my house was like chunky cheese. You know what I'm saying? He had stuff everywhere. But I tell you, every moment was a challenge. And every moment, man, there was joy with this guy. He loves attention, and he gives back. You hear what I'm telling you? He gives back. He seemed to know how to soothe you. You know what I'm saying? Even when you're mad at him, you know? And he doesn't forget a thing. He doesn't forget a thing. But that's our joy. I miss him immensely. We get pictures of him every day. You got to stay in touch with your children, brothers and sisters. All right? I know when they get older, the first thing they want to do is break out. Right? And when I tell my kids, look, you got to stay in touch with me and your mother. Right? And all other young kids, I let them know, you got to stay in touch with family. Right? They nurtured you. They spent time. They sacrificed. They invested in you. Right? And your training is not over. So don't cut that string too soon. Now, I'm not saying that live in your mother's basement until you get 50 years old or on the couch. I'm not saying that. Sure, you can leave, but you got to make that call. You got to make that contact. If nothing else, you know, Jesus healed some people, right? And only one came back to thank him. With children, Children should be connected that they're calling you on a regular basis, just saying, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Right? Because I know and we know that they're going through things out there. They're facing things that they couldn't imagine. They're going up against things and things are pushing up against them that really just kind of sucks the life out. And this is why as parents, we stay in prayer for our children. And what do we ask God? Put a hedge around them, Jesus. Don't let them be overtaken out here in this world. All right? Don't let them be violated in this world, Father God. Let them go out in it with a clear mind and return with the same. Draw their minds to you. And I'm talking about our prayers. Draw their minds to you because you're the only one that can protect them. When mother and father aren't there, we know that the Holy Ghost and angels are on their job doing what they are supposed to do. The problem is we haven't learned as Christians to learn how to do what we are supposed to do. Let me share this with you, all right? It says, the more we know Jesus, the more we long to be like him. As we understand Jesus' kindness and his tender compassion, his gracious forgiveness, his steadfast loyalty to the Father's will, our own hearts are drawn to the one we most admire. The Christian life involves both coming to Jesus and growing in Jesus. It involves forgiveness and restoration. Jesus longs to forgive our sins, removing the guilt of condemnation of the past. His acceptance, forgiveness, and love help us to grow in him. There's a pattern in place here, brothers and sisters. I hope you're following it. He desires to rebuild our lives. The scripture says that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, right? That we were conceived in sin. So you had no say-so about that, all right? That's just the conditions that we were born in. That's the canal we came through. We came in, right, with a deficit. We came into this world with a deficit, right? And opposed to God. Some of you might not want to embrace that, but it's true. Because if we were already sinners coming into the world, then we were already set up to go against and reject, right, the love of God. But Christ knew and already had an answer to our problem before we realized we had one. Matthew 5:14 says what? Ye are the light of the world. Light is a symbol of the divine presence of God. We're not talking physical light here this morning. We're talking spiritual light. You got me? You follow me? You with me? We're talking spiritual light this morning. Genesis 1:3 says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And Genesis 1:4 says, God saw the light and said it was what? Good. And God did what? He divided the light from the darkness. And if we live for Jesus, we will glow like lights, shining brightly with his love. Many will be attracted by our light and want to step into it. Brothers and sisters, I know some of you are pretty shy about sharing your faith with others, but what else can you do? This is the life that you have been given. Jesus didn't say, hey, just come here. Jesus had a plan when he called you to him, when he drew you to him. And I had to straighten that out, but when you say that Christ called people, people say, well, I never heard that. But if you come to church, that wasn't your idea. Christ has always had communication with all of his people, whether you're a sinner or a saint. God doesn't break connection with his creation. He loves those that he has brought into the world. And he will never turn his back on none of you. He reigns upon the just and the unjust. So in your attitude, be careful about who you turn your back on. Right?
Be careful about who you push away. Be careful about those that you reject. I mean, I'm saying you have to create a distance between people that don't mean you any good. But if you can't help them, God can still help them. Some of those people are still salvageable to God. So what I'm saying is, when God says you have to love your enemies, that person that's pushing up on you the wrong way, you need to pray for that individual, that they'll come to clarity of mind and that they might end up being a living testimony for God. That's what we need to do as Christians, people with the light. And this is the problem that God has with his people, those who claim to know Jesus. We don't know our responsibility. There's a lot of young people having babies that don't know what to do once they get them home. And me and my wife were the same way. When we brought our first child home and put her in the crib and she slept, you know, most kids slept during that time. These kids today, they come into the world with their eyes wide open and they're ready to go. You know, it's a different day. But we just sat around and just watched each other. What do we do next? But her mother was available, my mother was available, and we've been around kids. It's not that we didn't know what to do. We couldn't anticipate anything, right? Is this what it is? We just sit here and wait? You know, you were scared to go out the room because you didn't know what was going to happen. So we went through that for a minute, and then as we got comfortable, her in her space and we in our space, we began to learn how to live and nurture, right, according to what was necessary. But everybody, all I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, we don't come into the world with all the answers. We don't know what's available to us. We know nothing about God, but God knows everything about us. So after we live the life that we want to live, you know, God is still waiting. He's still waiting patiently for you to get to where you got to go until you get to the end of your road. Then he approaches you, right? And it's not that he didn't say anything before and all the time that you wasted out there in that world looking for somebody else to be the love of your life. And I'm not against love, brothers and sisters. Love is a valid thing. It's something that we need to understand. But we need to know what it is and we need to know how to define it, right? And love is not sex. Love is a responsible act. Love is about sacrifice. Love is about giving and understanding that you may not get back, right, what you think you deserve, right? But love helps you to stay fast, right? It helps you to fasten down and anchor down and be so quick. Don't be so quick to make little changes, right? Because things are not going your way. Love dedicates you to the cause. You see what I'm saying? It makes you get up and go out, right? Instead of laying in and looking for somebody to bring it to you, right? It keeps you active. It keeps you excited, right? It puts you in a position that you want to nurture someone, right? You don't wait for people to ask. You become a volunteer when you're a lover. As soon as you see something out of place, you go to it. And you get busy, right, to comfort somebody, right, and help somebody. We have great responsibilities when we come into the family of God. And it's not something that's too burdensome for you and I. Our problem is that we try to do things, right, in our own strength. And God keeps telling you that I'm your strength. Use me in order to do righteous things. You got to have me in you. The Spirit of God got to be working in you. So you just won't be spinning your wheels, but power is flowing from your efforts. You follow me this morning? Right? We're talking about doing it in Jesus' name. Right? We're talking about coming to a point of understanding that it's not my will, Lord, but let your will be done in all that I do. This is the understanding that we need. God had a vision of us long before we came into the world.
And he is true to everything that he has says, that he has said. If we live for Jesus, we will glow like lights. Talking about us being the light of the world. Many will be attracted to your light, brothers and sisters. You don't have to know all the pages and all the verses in the Bible in order to be a spokesman for Christ. All you got to do is let people know what Christ did for you. That's all you got to do. And I'm going to tell you one thing. People will see something in you that you don't see yourself. And some of you have had that experience already. People have come to you and wanted to thank you for you just being you. I'm glad you were there for me, right? These are the kind of things that they would tell you. I was at my worst, but when I came to you, you gave me some advice, and it helped me to strengthen myself and me to refocus on the important things of life. It will happen, because I'm going to tell you, God doesn't waste his light, brothers and sisters, and he knows what his light is designed to do. You know, there's a scripture that says, God said that his word would not return unto him void. He has just that much confidence in the things that he say. He knows exactly what his words are and what he wants to say and how he wants to say it. And he says, when I throw it out there, as my words go through men and women who love me, right, and know of me, that word will not return unto me void. It's going to do what it was designed to do. All God wants the people of light to do is to spread the word. Throw that seed out there. Everything that God has given you, put it to the test. Put it out there. Don't let people go by you and you don't say, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. Just that alone can awaken them and keep them from devastation. You don't know what people have on their mind when you're passing them on the street. But just a little moment of encouragement can get their minds off of it. You can bring them back from the edge, right? Because they're thinking some things. Let me tell you one thing. God blessed me with a friend of friends. And when me and this guy first met each other, we couldn't stand each other. We worked a job together, right? And the best we could do for each other, hey. Hey. You know what I'm saying? Hey. That's all we have for each other. Because it was something about his demeanor he didn't like, and something about, well, my demeanor he didn't like, and something about his demeanor I didn't like. So we just gave each other a hey and kept it moving. I mean, I was like that. If I couldn't get along with you, later, I'd give you the long-handled spoon. I'm creating some distance, right? I don't need trouble in my life. And that's how I was. That's how I protect myself. And everybody had protect mechanisms that they put in place. Certain things they just not going to do. But I'm telling you, if Jesus is in your life, he's going to ask you to do just that one thing that you don't want to do. He's going to put you there. He's going to bring you on Front Street, and he's going to put you in a situation where you're going to have to do something that you said you would never do. When he said that you got to love your enemies, I had problems with that when I read that in Scripture. How do you love an enemy, somebody that's working against you and mean harm to you? But as you get older, you understand these things, and as you read more, you mature more, right? And these things become clearer to you. Every person of God has a responsibility to give love and to show love. You don't have time to be mad and angry and holding grudges at people, right? Because you have the words of life in you. And you got to get busy living. And living is you sharing the light that God has put in you. That's what you got to get busy doing. We're so fixated on our little everyday problems that we forget there's people going to their deaths. They're walking past you to go to their deaths. You don't know how many people you actually saw them in passing and they didn't get out of that day. They lost their lives before the day was over. You don't have no knowledge of those things. But in this life, it happens, and it happens just that quickly. And it's even more quickly now that people are able to lose their lives than any other time before. I don't know about you, but there's darkness upon the earth, brothers and sisters, and gross darkness upon the hearts of the people, is what the scripture says. So we find that people are attracted to your light. But what you have to understand is that the light that God gives you is a real powerful voice. You don't have to preach a sermon, brothers and sisters. All you got to do is show that you care. Just give people 5 minutes of your time and you keep it level. Don't let nobody take you over, right? They take you into an area where you don't need to be, right? God gives you the authority to say, oh, wait a minute, that ain't me, right? I'm not with that, right? You can put the brakes on, and believe me, people will respect that. They don't think you're serious because the people they hang with, everybody accept bad language. You know what I'm saying? Everybody expects disrespect. They expect that now, you know? That's the human condition. But when you say, sister, you know, I'm living a little bit better now, right? You don't need to come at me like that, brother. Come on, can you hold it together for a minute? You know, that ain't necessary with me. You know what I'm saying? We can use a little better language with each other, right, in order to communicate. You got the authority to do that, and don't be afraid. Matter of fact, one of them they're waiting for somebody to correct them. They're out there acting cute because that's what they learn. You do what your friends do. So the light that comes from Jesus always reveal what? Truth. We're talking light. We're talking spiritual light here this morning. Light that we're speaking of is, again, is not physical light, but spiritual light. Remember, we agreed that the light that the Lord created on the first day of creation represented the presence of God. What is the first thing my God and your God did when he stepped out on nothing and spoke this world into existence? The first day, he spoke light into his existence. And what does that light represent? The presence of the living God. It's amazing how he put himself first in creation. And everything that followed for the next 5 days, what did he do? Everything was dependent on that light that he had already established. So he established himself right first. He put himself in place first. And then all of creation followed him. Isn't that amazing? That's why we call him the shepherd. Because a shepherd does what? He leads his flock. He doesn't put his flock out there to be ravaged by wolves and other people that's willing to come and steal. He puts himself out front because he is their protection. In this country, when it comes to cattle, we drive our cattle. We get behind the cattle and drive it. You ever notice them on TV? They drive their cattle, right? But in the Mideast, shepherding was a different type of sport. It came with a responsibility. Every shepherd knew each one of them sheep, regardless of the number of sheep that they had. They knew one from the other. Now that's personal. That's personal, and that's up close, and that's being responsible. But when the sheep had to be moved, he positioned himself in front. And he gave the signal, and they followed him. And Jesus looked at us the same way. What does he call us? The sheep of his pasture. Right? And we have to get in the mind frame of mind that God is looking for people that's willing to follow. And this is what's hard for us, brothers and sisters, from day to day, to keep following Jesus. Right? Because we can't see him. We are visually impaired. We need to see everything in order for us to believe. But Christ tells us we have to learn how to move and live according to faith, not by sight. So every word that has been spoken out of the mouth of God, we need to live by. And when you have no knowledge of God's word, then you make yourself weak and vulnerable to the devil's attack. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, he's going to come at you. Just because you come to church, it don't mean that the devil's going to stop coming at you. That don't happen. He wouldn't be a devil if he stepped back. He feels as though he has a right to have your life, to be in your life, and to wreck your life.
Bible says he come what? To steal and to kill. And that's what he has in mind. And if he could have choked you out when you was a baby in that crib, he'll do that. Give you no chance at all, because he did it with Jesus. Wasn't he looking for him when he was an infant? The kings had people out there searching for Christ. Where is this Christ child? Where is this Savior? We're going to eliminate him right now. That was the plan, and that is still the plan today. Brothers and sisters, nothing has changed when it comes to that. The battle is still on, right? For your life and my life. The thing we need to come to is who we're going to give our lives to. Who are we going to serve with this life that we now have? All right? Are we going to serve the devil? And all he want to do is wreck it? Or are we going to give it to Christ, who is able to save it? Right? Cover us, dear Lord. Right? Cover us with your blood, your precious blood, that we might live through the ceaseless ages of eternity with you. Where am I? So we know that it represents, the light represents the presence of God. Everything that was created after the first day depended on that light. All right? Acts 4:13 says what? Oh, Peter and John were uneducated, right? And unlearned people. But yet, it was the learned ones in the community that saw it was something special about them. Right? They didn't, Peter and John didn't go to no seminary to learn about Christ, to learn about their God, to learn about creation, and to learn about how sin was disrupting the whole community of man. They didn't go there to learn that, right? But they were chosen by God anyway to come into this training session, right? Allowing them to be co-workers with him on this mission to save souls. And people were impressed by what they did and how they did it. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you say that you are living the life of a Christian, people are watching you every step. As soon as you mess up, one of your good friends is going to say, I thought you was a Christian. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? I thought you was a Christian. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, they watching. They keeping a book on you. I did everything I was big enough to do. And there was a guy, I spent a lot of time in the business where he worked. And I did a lot of wrong things in his presence. And when Christ came into my life, I ceased to do those things. Praise God. I take no credit for that. He took things from me, right? And I never asked for them back, right? So one day I was on the premises and we were just talking, and he said, Anderson, he said, I've been watching you for over a year. And I haven't seen you falter yet. And that thing shocked me, that somebody would spend that kind of time observing me. Right? I was thankful to God because he confirmed to me that I was doing it the right way. A lot of times you can't measure your progress when you're walking with Jesus, right? Because it's not about that. It's about trust. It's about understanding. It's about learning how to follow, right? And recognizing that you're not the leader of your life, right? He controls your life. It's about that. I'm busy about that, right? Letting God make the changes in me that need to be made. But not trying to make superficial changes, you know, within my own self. I am not a self-made man. Right? You cannot be a self-made woman. God doesn't ask for that. All he asks for you to do is surrender unto him, and he'll make the changes. I asked you earlier, could you find your way from here to heaven? Right? I didn't get a response. Wasn't looking for one. But the fact is, none of us can. Jesus knows the way. Right? He knows how to get us there and to prepare us for the journey. And that's what he's doing. As long as you have breath, he is still preparing you for the journey.
You are not at the end, brothers and sisters. Every morning is a brand new start with you in Christ, right? It's a brand new start. You need to be excited. You need to be like my little great-grandson. You need to wake up with a smile on your face, ready for the challenge. That's what Christians need to do. We have to stop with the sad face thing because we have too much going for us. We have more going for us than going against us. Believe me, when you got Jesus on your side, Christ promised that nothing will overtake us. He is our defender in all things. He is our protector. He is indeed our sustainer. He'll keep you even if you can't keep yourself. And why do I say that? We have a tendency to get in our own way. We still think that we can do it all. And we just say, okay, Jesus, I got this. You got what? You don't know the devil is right there trying to take your life, and you don't even see him. You got what? I don't care how small or how great the task, right? You can't see what the devil has in mind for you. The only reason you haven't been taken out already is that God won't let him. He has protected you every day of your life. And he was there long before you even knew him, before you gave yourself to him. He was already on the job. Before you call, he's got an answer coming. So we're talking about untrained, and that's most of us, brothers and sisters, but let me tell you what you do have. Because Christ has come into your life now has become more valuable than you realize. Because now you understand that that life that you live ain't yours. God created you, and he's got a right to be in your business. And what business are you in? Being about your business. And that's the problem here. And this is where there's a clash between you and your God, because you keep on trying to be you, and what he's trying to do is to get you to be like him. You can't trust any other footsteps but his, and he left them for you. They're clearly indicated in his word. You follow me, brothers and sisters? I'm not fussing with you this morning. I'm just trying to wake you up as God is trying to wake me up. All of us are falling short of the glory of God. I don't care how many ministries you belong to, right? We still have a weakness. And anytime we can go back to what we were, if you don't keep your mind riveted on Christ. Christ is a cleanser. He comes with the spirit that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. All those fleshly desires you got that leads you down the wrong path and send you towards the wrong person, he cleanses you of that. We see things differently when Christ is involved, right? Christ is not around you. It's not a light that just shines on you. The true light lives in you. You got to let him go all the way, and you need to learn how to go all the way with Jesus. Jesus is a friend. And he stands on that. You're a friend every now and then. Jesus is a friend from now on through eternity. John 1:5 says, in him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light of truth comes from heaven. When it illuminates our own lives, it becomes our light. So everything that's in Jesus now is given over to you. I know that you came into the world looking like your mother or your father, right? But when Christ is in you, guess who you begin to mimic and look like? The image of you begin to change. Your attitude change. Your desires change. All of these things change. And guess what? People who are nosy, they're looking, and guess what? They're going to tell you, girl, you're changing. Brother, what's going on in your life? Who you done met? Right? They'll shoot that to you. But look, when they say this now, you got to take advantage of the opportunity and say, look, I had an encounter with Christ. I met Jesus out there on Sanford Boulevard, and he told me to tell you that he's waiting for you to give up this madness, right, and embrace him, because all he wants to do is come close to you and hug you, because he know that you need love in your life, and you don't have it, because you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Brothers and sisters, you can lay on the Daytona Beach all day long, and all you walk away with is a sunburn or a suntan. The light that Jesus offers you will kindle the light in the heart of man that will never be extinguished. When Jesus comes into your life, he comes in to possess it all. Jesus is not a part-time lover, brothers and sisters. No, he's not. He goes all the way, right? Calvary showed you how far he would go just to get your attention. And you got to remember now, the cross was set up for criminals. He never sinned. And he went anyway, because he didn't go for him. He went for us. He gave up his life for us. Brothers and sisters, you got to be mindful of that. Everything that Christ has done since sin has been for us. So Isaiah 61 through 3 says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light so shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rise to shine on you." So don't run from the light, because this is a precious gift of God. You can't find it on your own. It is a gift from God. He gives it. You can sit down and read a book all you want about Jesus, and it'll never come. He gives it as a gift. You can't manufacture this light, right? The light that touches the mind, the heart, and the soul. You can't manufacture this. It is a gift from God. Now, that ought to bring you to your knees, because you know already you're not worthy of anything that God has done for you. If he is God, and if he is the one who has created me, why does he need my permission? He needs my permission because he loves us. He's not looking to take prisoners. He's unshackling prisoners. And that's why he came up in your life, because he created it. So he came to protect that which he has put in place. And he gave it to you. He honored you with life and gave you to your mother and your father with the idea that they would nurture you in the admonition of the Lord. And if you didn't get it from them, there was other people that was going to pass by you as you grew up, that was going to drop a little tidbit on you and say, "Boy, you better learn how to pray. You're going the wrong way. You better learn to look to Jesus. You're going to bump that head, and you're going to end up doing time." And that you don't want to do. And for those who would not listen, guess what? The Lord... Excuse me. The Lord already got that fixed up, because he got prison ministry already in place. You see what I'm saying? He'll go that far. I did prison ministry for almost 20 years. And it's an amazing thing. Them little wayward children we got at home, they might not listen to you, but when they come up in that jail, they learn how to listen. Because ain't nobody in there to play with them. They know that very easily they can lose their life. So they learn how to listen. You know how you got to ask your kid, of course not your children, but other people have to ask their children 4 or 5 times to do the same thing. 20 times you asking them to do what you told them to do an hour ago. It's not like that in prison. They don't repeat themselves. You don't get it the first time, you might end up in a bad way. So they learn how to listen. Brothers and sisters, people hear what they want to hear. People come in here playing church and they ain't listening. They're not paying attention. They come in with no expectations. They just come here because they've been taught how to go to church.
But they never thought that Jesus was a personal God. So they never really got to know him and come close to him and let him take charge of their lives. They didn't know what was being offered to them. They just came in and this was just a ritual. God ain't satisfied with a ritual, nor is he impressed by your new suit or your new dress. He's trying to reach into you and do something with that stony heart that's in your chest, that one that will not receive true love. That's what he's trying to do in us. This is why we have services every week, just for us to come here and have an encounter with Christ, just to come here, right, and renew our relationship with Christ for those who have been with him for some time. So all of this is important. And the true Christians realize you can't stay away from the assembly of saints. Brothers, I need to hear testimony from you, and you need to hear my testimony. How God brought me, I need to hear how he brought you. I need to know what's keeping you in the circle of the saved. I need to hear that from you, and only you can tell it. But if you say you know Jesus and you ain't telling the story, something is wrong. Something is needed, brothers and sisters. Something is lacking in your relationship, right? All nations will come to your light. The mighty king will come to see, mighty kings will come to see your radiance, right? So people will be attracted to this thing that's taking place in you. I've had many people to come up to me and say, man, how are you staying at that long? Staying what that long? How are you staying in church that long, right? They talk about the years I've been here. I've been in the church, right? Because some of them came in and went back out. You know, a lot of my friends on the job, God allowed me to witness to them. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know a thing. But I knew I had a responsibility, right? And they knew some of the things I was doing, right? And they knew I didn't do it no more. And they couldn't ask me to do it. They couldn't bring that to me. And I would give them old slick answer, man, I'm with Jesus now. You know, that's how I played it off. Right? You know, God don't get rid of everything at the same time, right? But that's how I played it off. But the stronger I became in Christ, I realized, right? You know, you start straightening up, stop leaning over. You start straightening up, and you learn not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You follow me? The more you walk with him, the stronger you become. I don't have to be nobody else's man but my own. I don't have to be like you. You don't have to be like me. Because what is God going to ask me in the end? Right? I came into your life so you could be you. Be the best you could be. You don't have to be nobody else. Right? God expects to find a complete me when he gets finished with me. In my prayers, I'm asking God to make me whole. Right? And then I will include you, make you whole. That's the goal, is to become whole, not to live in confusion and in fear of everything around me, but to walk boldly before man and before my God, right? But in a humble way, not to take on any credit to myself, right? But to walk among those of the wicked, right? And tell them that the Lord is my Savior. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, right? He restoreth my soul. That's what he did for me. I couldn't do that for myself. Brothers and sisters, I didn't know I was lost. And I'm sure some of you were saying the same way. I didn't know what was required as a man, as a human. I didn't know what was required. But I heard God's voice tell me, you have been forgiven. Brothers and sisters, I didn't know I needed to be forgiven. But that resonated in my mind until I took my stand for Jesus. God kept that in my mind until I made a decision to embrace him as he was embracing me. So that's what did it for me. That was my start. The purpose of the light that he gives you is to glorify the Father. The light is not given right to us, so that others can marvel at who we are,
But the light is given to us that they might see Jesus in us. So we have to be careful how we speak and how we answer. Every blessing that has come to you has come from the God above, right? Who provides and also sustains you. You are more valuable than you realize. Jesus gives caution to the believer, to those who have had an encounter with Christ. He says this: do not hide the light that God has given by being quiet when you ought to be speaking. Brothers and sisters, we are in conversations where people are just going off, right? And because you're standing there, they expect for you to follow them. And they expect for you to co-sign on to whatever they're saying. And a lot of it's foolishness, right? But what does a Christian do? You sit there and you say nothing. This is your time. When you see somebody is way out of line, this is your time. Now, I'm not saying, look, don't get me wrong, because somebody will. I'm not saying to go out there and get in somebody's conversation and try to turn them around. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about, in most cases, you got to start at home. But don't you pick anybody. When God put it on your heart to say, brother, sister, come on. You know, how long that man been treating you like that? Right? And you expect him to change? What's going to make him change? Because you keep going back. You keep asking for it. So what you doing? You're encouraging this guy to mistreat you. And it goes the other way too. Because men get mistreated. And I'm just using it as an example. There's 1,000 examples out there where we can take a stand, and we don't. So the Lord says the light goes out when you don't take a stand, when you don't use the light that God has given you, right, to shine on other people, to help other people out, going along with the crowd, right, instead of going according to your own mind and what you know and what God has shown you, right, you put the light out that God has given you. Denying God's truth is a way to deny others the light that God has given you. Letting sin dim your light, right? Because we all got something we're holding on to. You know, the truth be told, we all got something that we're holding on to. And brothers and sisters, we got to be careful. That one thing can keep you out of heaven. That one thing that you refuse to let go of can keep you out of heaven. I don't care how much tithe you pay. Not sharing the light that you have been given, right, can put out your light. Ignoring the needs of others can also do the same thing. It can cut you off from the blessings that God is sending your way. There are many blessings that come our way, brothers and sisters. And guess what? They're sent back, stamps, return to sender. Because we didn't have sense enough to examine what was before us. We didn't have sense enough, right, to help somebody that was in need, somebody that was hurting. This week, me and my brother had to go to a sister, right, and she's in hospice, and we went to comfort her, and it was a hard situation, but that's what you got to do. Nobody is made for that. Some people are given specialties, but I'm not made for that, but you got to go. You got to go. And how do you go and tell people that God never fails when they're in a situation like that? That God is merciful, that God is good, and he'll take care of you. He'll restore you, right? How do you do that? That's a difficult thing to do. But a person that goes with a message got to understand one thing, right? Everything, when it comes to life, is based on God's will. And you got to remember that. You can ask for certain things, but God knows better. He knows exactly when to take a person out of this world or bring one in. God knows better, right? So you talk according to what you know. But your job is to comfort. Help a person to get past a moment. That's your job as light bearers. Help a person get past a moment. One of my co-workers that I didn't like, and I didn't finish telling you about him,
we learned to like each other. Because at the time that God came into my life, he came into some other members of my work organization, right? Some of them have had an encounter with Christ around the same time I did, different churches. But it all happened the same time. And we standing there on the job talking about how good Jesus is, and this brother's listening, right? And I'm not even noticing he's listening. So one day he came up on me and said, "Brother," he said, "man, I heard you what y'all was saying, and I really like how you responded to that guy." And from that day, me and him became the best buddies, the best friends. And he came and gave his life to the Lord, and things changed in his life. And then he shared with me about his life. He was never loved in his family. Mother gave him away. Other people took care of him, other family members. And they reminded him every day that he was the ugly duckling of the family. All his young life. So he went into the Marines when he was able, right? To get away from home, right? During the time of Vietnam. And he went over there and he stayed on the front line for the whole 11 months. For the whole 11 months, right? My brother had a death wish. He had so much pain in him, he didn't care. The men might understand, but he walked out among the rest. He was the point man when he went through the jungle. He's about a half a mile further up than the rest of the body. He said he felt more protected being by himself than being back there with the other ones, right? But brothers and sisters, you don't know what that do to the mind. So when he comes back home and gets a job, now he goes home every day. I'm sharing with you what he shared with me. Every day he went home and he put his gun in his mouth to take his life. And Jesus would not let it happen. And here I come. Hey, what's happening? That's the relationship we had. Hey, what's happening? Right? But we got to talk about Jesus, and it changed his life. I know the power of Jesus. I've seen it too many times. I can't deny him. Brothers and sisters, I'm not supposed to be standing here telling you this, but I can't deny him. I'm not a preacher, but I can't deny him. He's in charge. I'm not in charge. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I have chosen the title of this lesson to illustrate the power of God as well as his purpose. And the title is Ride on King Jesus. And it reflects the true character of our Lord and Savior. Jesus is a conquering king, and he will conquer in your behalf. Let him in your life. Let him have the controls, brothers and sisters. He knows exactly where he wants you to go, and he knows how to get you there. Brothers and sisters, we are on our way to the kingdom of God. Until then, he needs to establish you, and he's trying to get a little work out of you because he has you positioned where you can do a mighty work. You are linking the chain, right? You are linking the chain, and you are and will be able to influence others to give Jesus a chance. James Cleveland sung the song that says, "When I fall on my knees and I ask the Lord to fight my battles, I know that victory shall be mine." Jesus is a conquering king. Ride on King Jesus. No man can hinder me. No woman can hinder me. No nothing can hinder me from his love. I don't know about you or me, brothers, you or anybody in here, but I need love, right? And he showed me love in the best way, and he continued to show me love. As big as and burly as I am, I need a hug, and he gives me that. You understand what I'm saying? He gives me that. Now, my woman is like this, right? And she gives me a fit.
So I stay close to Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Do your thing. Look, don't y'all laugh. Because y'all the ones that be encouraging her. No, it's all good, brothers and sisters. You know, when you come to Christ, you can laugh at yourself. You know, because look, ain't nothing, it's not that serious. It's only serious if you're walking away. But when you walk into him, you can lighten up. You know what I'm saying? You can shed a few pounds, man, when it comes to the pressure that's on you. You can trust Jesus. I might not be able to trust too many people in here, but I can trust him, right? And I ain't, you know, I just thought I'd say that. But I'm just saying, he's the one that's going to fix it for me, right? So we're all invited to walk in the light, the beautiful light, down where the dewdrops in mercy shine bright. Shine all around us, by day and by night. Jesus is what? Light. The light of the world. The light of the world. Let us stand. Our Father and Almighty God, it has been good to be in your presence this morning. We pray that something has been said from this desk that was able to penetrate the hearts of the people who are listening. We ask, O God, that you would do in us the way you've done so many others. Bring us from the madness, Father God. Death is all around us. We ask that you would continue to bring the spirit of life as well as light on us. Penetrate, dear Lord, our exterior and massage this old stony heart of ours, Father God. Grant us the spirit of peace as well as understanding. Do in us what we cannot do for ourselves. Be the God that you are, that we may end up being the people that you want us to be. Show us how to follow, Lord. Show us how to pray. Show us how to do unto others as you have done unto us. Show me how to love an enemy and be okay with that. Take away any malice or forethought from our minds. Bless us to this end, and we will be careful to give you the glory that is due your holy and righteous name. We thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone here who would like to give their life to Christ this morning? We'll take a moment just to wait on you. Walk that walk. It's not that far. Jesus came all the way from heaven just for you. Just for you. Anyone that desire to give their life to the Lord and let him work it out in you. Let him make the change in you. Let him complete you and free you, unshackle you from the bondage of sin and shame that you now may be suffering. Anybody, anyone looking for a church home? This church is on the move. Brother Richardson was telling you earlier about the big things that this little church is doing. We feed over 200 people a week, and we've been doing it for what, 9 years? Not that many. We started small, right? We're like 60, maybe under 100. But now we're up over 200, and we've been doing that for what, about a year or two? Because things are hard out there, and it's going to get harder for us, brothers and sisters. But God got this church working to its capacity. But there's room for you here. We can nurture you here. We'll pray with you here. We'll cry with you here. But we'll also get you up on your feet from this place and let you leave here encouraged to do what you need to do. To be a light for the living God. Anyone? Thank you so much. God bless you, and may the Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated.